Now that you're here, God bless you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be with you today and knowing that we're going to be with you for eternity. May it just begin today, Lord, and may it be eternity unfolded in our very midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm very, very excited. I woke up at 4:30 this morning and went into my study. And I was working on, it was going to be 109, about the, 84 elements of the parousia. And I found out that there wasn't 50, there was 52 that Jesus had mentioned. So there's actually two more, there's 86. And I just happened to be at page 182. 182 by the time I left, and I only got halfway through. I got just Jesus 52 done. So it's going to be an amazing sermon, and the revelation is not just pouring, it's gushing. And I'm so thankful because actually this is number 105. Then we have 106, and then we have 107, 108. Then we have 109, which is parousia, but I'm going to have to make it 9:10, or maybe I'll make it 8:09 so we have it for the Sunday communion. And anyway, then I got 11 and 12 done. So I've got eight sermons. Actually, if I take the, oh, by the way, 109 is on the seed word, and that's 67 pages of quotes. So that's probably 10 sermons. And the 182 is probably, if I can get in 10 pages each time, it's 18 sermons. So, we've got enough to catch us to the millennium. So I'm excited because he's just pouring. It's just really pouring out. And I tell you what, if you could just be there, you would just be running in circles because, it's just really tremendous what he's doing. So anyway, this morning we're going to look at 105 Earth on Earthquakes. And then next week we'll look at the magma or the actual methane gas. And then we're going to look at the animals and we're going to look at the church, the church, council of churches and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's just tremendous. So from Who Do You Say This Is, we're going to look at, as I said, earthquakes this morning. Brother Bam says, the world just about to fall apart, as I preached on once somewhere, about a Christmas message, the world falling apart. And the world, again, is just about to come to pieces. Look at the earthquakes over here in California. I predict before the coming of the Lord that God will sink the place. I believe that Hollywood and Los Angeles and them filthy places over there, that Almighty God will sink them. They'll go beneath the ocean of the sea. Now, we've all thought this was the San Andreas fault, and which part of it is California and Los Angeles and Hollywood, but up near San Francisco is the Acadian Fault, and 300 years ago there was a 300-foot tidal wave that traveled at 500 miles per hour that hit Japan because it just slipped a little bit at that time. So we're looking for both the Acadian and the San Andreas Fault to go, which means that all of California is gone. And it's going to be such a high tidal wave. It'll be actually 2 miles high, Brother Brown, or 1 mile above sea level, he said it would happen. So now from Revelation 16:18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. All right. And then we read in Revelation 11:9, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now, we all know what damage hail can do, but just imagine when that hail is 100 pounds heavy, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be 100 pounds hailstones, and that's going to, your cars won't make it through that one, I think. Anyway, so we see here a couple pictures of the earth in torment, and this clip up here shows how earthquakes since 1900 have increased. They're pretty steady to about 1910 or so. That's when the prophet was born in 1909. And that's when the parousia came, God. That angel was over him at his birth in Kentucky. But notice then how they've taken off. I mean, the graph shows, you know, just astronomical, going up a hockey stick. Not even hockey stick, because hockey stick is kind of curved. It's actually, you know, just vertical. In 2008, I didn't have a clip for later than that, but from leadership, he says, look here, do you know that the Lord says about Los Angeles and these places here? She's gone. You remember what I told you about 2 years ago, how that earthquake would come in Canada, up here in Alaska. I also tell you the Hollywood in Los Angeles is sliding into the ocean. California, you're doomed. Not only California, but you, world, you're doomed. Church, unless you get right with God, you're doomed. Thus saith the Holy Spirit. So it is a warning from God himself thus saith the Lord, that the church is doomed, the world is doomed. All right, so, you know, our dooming is really, it's upon us. It's getting ready to shake, rattle, and roll. And, you know, we thought we were big shots when we had we bombed Afghanistan, and we said, shock and awe. Well, this is going to be shock and awe, because I don't even think Russia will have to touch the West Coast. I think that they'll hit, Louisville, like the brother said. Brother Bram said that they have their names on one of them. But these bombs, the big Satan II, hypersonic bomb, which we can't defend against, it'll blow a hole the size of Texas. Now, the size of Texas fits over, you know, the size of France, you saw, and France is about half the volume of Europe. So, in other words, just two over in Europe would do it. One in UK will completely wipe them back to just being ocean creatures. And, you know, a couple in this country, you know, on the East Coast, bomb out, I mean, it'll take out New York, take out, Washington. Because, you know, you could fit all of those puny little states, which they think they're really big shots, you know. But they're just puny little states, and you could take them out with just one bomb. Well, I remember back in 1980, I was on a business trip to New York, and we went to the general manager's house and out there. And, you know, he had a daughter that was in high school. And, you know, she says, where's Ohio? Is that where all the cows are at? You know, just really snippety and really, you know, thinking she was really something. And I thought, well, I'd rather be where the cows are at than where all these junky people are at. You know, you've lost your minds. So, anyway, he says, have you ever heard me use the name unless it come to pass? As you know, you've known me 20 years. Did I ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord but what had come to pass? If everything else I've ever told you would happen, happened, say amen. Congregation says amen. I tell you now, and now is the hour, you better be getting right, all of us. Now, again, in Revelation 13, and the sun, in the same hour, was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men, 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to God, to the God of heaven. Well, these are just a couple pictures here, and I need to kind of look at this one, because, you know, I can't really see it on my scope, but it's a city in ruin, and then you have a second city in ruin on the other side. So, just notice it's coming to a theater near you, and it's you know, but we're not going to get to see it. You know, that's going to be good. We're going to be in glory, and the world is going to be in doom. So I got a picture now here of Los Angeles falling into the ocean, you know, from the movie 2012, and Brother Branham says it'll be that way. It'll slide right into the ocean. So anyway, from Choosing a Bride, he said, that solemn warning, we don't know what time, and you don't know what time the city one day is going to be laying in the bottom here of the ocean. O Capernaum, Jesus said, thou who exalted into heaven will be brought down into hell. For if mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, it had been standing till that day. And Sodom and Gomorrah lays at the bottom of the Dead Sea, and Capernaum at the bottom of the sea. Thou city, who claims to be the city of the angels, who's exalted yourself, notice, by calling themselves lost angels or the angels, who exalted yourself into heaven and sent all the dirty, filthy things of fashion and things, till even the foreign countries come here to pick up our filth and send it away, with your fine churches and steeples and so forth, the way that you do. Remember, one day you'll be laying in the bottom of this sea, your great honeycombed under you right now. Now, I know some people that actually worked in the military in submarines. They said they actually went under Los Angeles. So Los Angeles is honeycombed, and you know, it just takes a dry spell, then a wet spell, a dry spell, then a wet spell, and it cracks. Okay, the wrath of God is belching right beneath you. How much longer he'll hold this sandbar hanging over that when that ocean out yonder, a mile deep, will slide in there plumb back to the Salton Sea? It'll be worse than the last days of Pompeii. Now, how many know about Pompeii? Pompeii, when it exploded, it was felt around the world. Completely around the world. So, anyway, it'll be worse than the last days of Pompeii, he says. The hour of his wrath is upon the earth. Flee while there's time to flee and come into Christ. Let us pray. Now from Revelation 8 and 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire and altar and cast it on the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, it just so happens to be that the earth quakes at the presence of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. So you see again a picture of complete devastation up here, let's see, to the right up here, and just showing the power behind those earthquakes. From the rapture, he says, I remember just my last message in California where I thought I'd go back again when I predicted that Los Angeles will go beneath the ocean, and thus saith the Lord, it will. She's done. She's washed. She's finished. What an hour. I don't know when, but it will be sunk. Now, scientists don't even know when, but they know that it's they give it any time. I mean, it's just, they just don't know. I think when you see the great missiles come that can destroy the size of Texas, it will definitely throttle the earth with such magnitude, like Brother Bram said, they can have their bunkers under the ground, but he said they'll be shaken like, you know, they're in a sardine can. So when it goes, I mean, it'll just totally, totally sink California. So, you know, there is no hope for those people who remain. Our hope is in Christ, okay? Now, from Revelation 6 and 12, again, you see the people, and they're walking across where the, you know, earthquake separated the land. And he says, and I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. Now, you know, when Brother Bram threw that rock against the wall or against the mountain, a whirlwind came down at that time. It took out a part of the mountain, and I've been there. I've seen the stones, and I you know, there's actually a place called White Eagle, and it's actually, it's just in white. It's carved eagle. But the angel of the Lord, when he threw that stone up in the air, and it come down, and I have a piece of it somewhere at home, but anyway, it's no big deal. I mean, it is a big deal, but it's not a big deal. But because we don't worship idols, you know. But it's a reminder. Just it's all it is, a reminder. And anyway, then it just about took off the top of the mountain, and he said, he warned the brothers, you know, hit the deck, basically. And they did, and they watched it, you know, take off the mountain, and then it went west. Well, then 2 days later, California almost sunk. I've been to Soldotna, and Soldotna is a place where on the coastline, it's got mountains come down like this into a valley, into a bay. And it was completely devastating. They haven't even fixed up the place today. You've been there, what, how many years ago?
Oh, 12 years ago, but I lived there 8 years.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's just devastated. It's just, you know, I mean, it's the damage was so great that, you know, I don't know how they can fix it up. But anyway, so that's the power of the earthquake, okay? Acts 16:26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now that's when Peter was in jail, or Paul and Silas were in jail, and God opened with an earthquake, he opened up the jail cell. Okay, now here you see a picture of Los Angeles sliding into the ocean. Okay, and so this was from 2012, the movie, but they had it right, that there would be great devastation, nothing like they've ever seen before. From ashamed of him, Brother Ram said, and then prophesying Los Angeles will be at the bottom of the sea, and I come home and went to Africa, and while I was in Africa, they had an earthquake. And scientists, you've seen it, It was on a broadcast, some big, fine homes tumbled in Los Angeles and motels and so forth, and now there's et cetera, et cetera. Well, back then, you know, they used to build these houses on the hillside. They think they're infallible, and those houses would just slide right down. You know, the ocean would just, I mean, they slide into the ocean. So since the earthquake, there's a 2 or 3 inch crack that come in the earth, starting in Alaska, goes around through the Aleutian Islands, comes out about 150 or 200 miles in the sea, comes back up at San Diego, takes in California or Los Angeles, and comes out again just below the northern part of California. There a little place called San Jose just below there. Well, that's actually then where the Cascadia Mountains pick up, and the Cascadia fault line picks up, and they say that it is even more devastating than the one from California, from Los Angeles area. So anyway, Luke 21:11, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I actually, because this, the word proves you're not used there, but you know, we are looking for great signs shall be from heaven. Anyway, but that'll come in another sermon. Okay. Mark 13:8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, that means many places, and there shall be famines and trouble. These are the beginning of sorrows. You know how many famines there have been since Brother Ram was born? Hundreds and hundreds. And the devastation, I got a chart that I'm going to show you that shows how many people died, and it shows all the states. And you see, some of these charts that I have, we're just going to have to flip through them fast. So, you know, come ready to read real fast, because I've got them on the PDF and they'll stay there. So we got 182 pages. I might have to split it in half, but because we're not, you know, I mean, we don't have time to get through it all. But the evidence is there. That's what I'm saying. And it's so, there's so much evidence that, like I said, I had 182 pages and I only got halfway through the signs of the, and events of the parousia. And there's 182 pages of charts and all kinds of things that are just tremendous when you look at the volumes of them. And so I'll just kind of scroll when we get to that point, because I'm going to be scrolling a lot of pages. So anyway, you know, unless I can find some chart that kind of simplifies it all, puts it in one, you know, but when you've got a list of things, I mean, we have 20, 30 pages of just a list, you know, that would go through the list. It's just tremendous. All right, so from works is faith expressed. And the reason why I leave it in there is because I want you to know that not just, you know, one here, one there, oh, we, you know, these things are happening. No, it's everywhere. Every country is besieged. All right? Now, from works is faith expressed. He said, right beside a great canyon, 8 or 10 times higher than this building, just a box canyon, like a fire come down from the heavens, like a whirlwind, just a few feet above where I was standing, and ripped the rocks right out of the mountains. Went out there, or out through, and cut the tops of the mesquite trees off for 100 yards out. Everybody running and trying to get under trucks and everything else. You know, I could understand if this was a bomb that went off, but it was God. That's how awesome God is. Amen. All right? Everybody running and trying to get under trucks and everything else. It went back up again and clapped like a great thunder, went back up in the skies again and come down again, and done that 3 times. And when it was all over, they come over and ask, what did they mean? I said, I don't know. I don't want to tell you. It was a judgment sign. In a few days, a great earthquake's going to strike on the West Coast, and or on the West, and it won't stop. California, Los Angeles will sink. It's going down. It'll slide right into the ocean, and 2 days after that, the Alaskan earthquake shook Alaska. All right, now here you got a picture of a tidal wave, which is about 300 feet. Well, this tidal wave that, you know, brother, how many know brother Michael knows him? Not Doris Caldwell, but her husband, Bill Caldwell. Bill was converted in the 60s by Brother Vail's ministry, and he was, you know, followed Brother Vail for years, and then after Brother Vail, my ministry. And Bill had a dream that he was on one of the mountains in northern he's from Oregon, but he was up in the mountains in northern California, and about a mile high, and the tidal wave came above him. Now, he wasn't swept away with it because he was like in a vision or something. But just to say how high they are, they do have, from the Cascadia fallout, they do have evidence of of big trees that are, what do they call the trees when they're older? There were sequoias, but what do you call them when they're waterlogged?
Petrified.
They have petrified logs of big sequoia trees up in the mountains in California, a mile high. So that's how high the last one was. And that was nothing compared to what's coming. So, all right. From the unveiling God, he says, see, that was so great till even the people said, they said, when they seen Jesus, or Jehovah, come down in his pillar of fire and begin to shake the earth, and things he done, and the mountains on fire, and even if anybody tried to go to that mountain, they perished. It was so great, till even Moses feared the quake. Now, if you can imagine in that day, all right, Mount Sinai quaking like it did, and Moses was even afraid to approach it, yet God told him to come. But even if an animal like a dog or a cat, or you know, a donkey or an oxen, if they put a foot on the mountain, they were killed. All right. Then if that time he shook just the mountain, this time he will shake heavens and earth. What about this glory? If that was veiled by a natural veil, this is veiled by a spiritual veil. So don't try to look at the natural, break into the spiritual, and see where you're at, see what hour we're living in. You see, because the wise virgin didn't have their eyes on the vessel, and they saw the parousia of Christ, that he was here. The foolish virgin didn't see anything because they wanted to look at the vessels, and so they went to those who sold, okay? So Matthew 27:51 tells us, and we're going to come into that when we talk about the parousia coming up. It's so tremendous to see how the vessel, how the eyes on the vessel is actually ordained for those under destruction. And for the bride, it's for those, it's ordained that we don't have our eyes on the vessel, but we have our eyes on God. Okay? Now, Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Okay? That was a time at Jesus, when he was resurrected the first time, this great earthquake shook everything, opened up the grave, and he came out. And all the saints came out. Well, if Alpha is Omega, it's got to repeat. So we're looking at Los Angeles going down. We're looking at the second coming taking place. The nation will be in such confusion. They won't know what's going on. But we'll know what's going on because we're looking every day. That's the whole thing of these sermons, is to get you to be looking every day because he is here. Russia has her hand on the bomb right now. He is speaking as if it's going to happen any day now. And so, you know, if we make it to June 21st, I don't know. And, you know, I know there's three brothers, Jan and John and Sam, want to come over because the U.S. lifted the vaccine requirement. And so I said, well, you can come in June, but I said, if you come in June, I said, you might miss a free ride. Because, you know, if he comes before the end of June, then I said, you know, you'll be here anyway. So you might as well come in late September, you know, when things are half the price and you know, everything else that way. So I don't know, brother, sister. I just know that it's imminent, and I'm looking for it every day, and glory to God. It's just, it's so wonderful. You know, he just, this revelation is not coming like a little trickle. It's coming like a gusher. And, you know, I cannot I don't have the capacity to withhold it all, but I'm just, you know, can you imagine, here's an invalid, I mean, here's a guy who's, you know, half crippled, and I produce 182 pages from 4:30 till about 10 o'clock. So in about 6 hours, you know, five and a half hours, I produced 182 pages of evidence. Of his parousia. So that's, you know, and how can I do that? You know, I can't do that. I mean, look, the other day we took out five trees in an hour, right? All right. You know, I wouldn't have done it before, but we did it. I put in a trench line. I had to dig with a spade, you know, or not a spade, pickaxe. And in an hour, I had 20 feet worth laid out from gutter to end, and I don't know how I did it in 20 minutes or in an hour, maybe even less than that, but I did it, and things are just going faster and faster and faster. It's like I'm living in eternity. You know, I just don't know what's going on, but I'm kind of enjoying it because I'm getting more accomplished now as a cripple than I am as someone who's fully there. So, you know, praise God for it. So anyway, Nahum says, 1:5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. So that's speaking of the end time, because all, A-double-L, will burn. All right? Joel 2:10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall fall, shall withdraw their shining forth. So, you know, it's all going to come. We're going to be gone. We're going to be in his presence in that dimension, safe and sound, and the earth is just going to crack up and wash away and explode into methane gases are all over, and you know, it's just going to ignite, and the earth is just going to be basically one ball of fire. So praise the Lord, it's coming. Now, from the mountains shall melt like wax, okay? What does wax do if you take a candle and put it out in the sun? What is it going to do? It just melts down to nothing. It doesn't have a shape or form anymore. Well, Brother Bram told the brothers in South Carolina that he said one of these days these mountains will be no more. He told the people in Florida, he said one of these days Florida will be no more. It's just a big sandbar right now. I think the highest place in Florida is like maybe 80 feet above sea level. There might be a few hills in there, but it's pretty low. I mean, we are at 890 right here at this building, 890 feet above sea level, which is 800 feet above Florida. So Florida is no more. I mean, a big tidal wave would just wipe the whole place out, all right? So from watching his star, he said, and they picked up the scroll where Daniel had prophesied that there'd come a time when there'd be a stone cut out of the mountains without hands, and it would tear down the kingdoms of the world. They must have seen that, and then they had some of the Hebrew scrolls of back in Numbers where that Balaam said there would be a star of Jacob would rise. Now, Billy Paul also had a dream where he saw that, and I asked him about it, and he actually called me up because I was down there. I left a message, and I said, you know, could I see Billy? And they said, well, he's in a meeting right now. I said, well, that's okay, I'll just leave a message. And I said, you remember your dream that you had about the mountain cut out without hands falling down, you know, in Tucson there? He said, yeah. And then I said, read Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 20, and then call me. Well, he called me the next morning at 9 o'clock sharp, and he said he said basically that he saw it all over again, okay, and he said that reading Isaiah in both scriptures and then recalling his dream, it was just tremendous. On the sixth vision, Brother Bram came out of the sixth vision, and Billy said, what did the angel tell you? You know, like, ha-ha, you know, I'm a 20-year-old, you know, and you know, what did the angel tell you? And he said, son, if I told you, you never sleep again the rest of your life. What's coming? Wow, that ought to just shake you right there. Well, then he had that dream, and in the dream, his dad came in, and he stood up at the pulpit, and he said, come on, son. Billy was sitting behind the pulpit, in one of the chairs. And he said, come on, son. He said, the Lord is coming before the morning. And so the preacher stood up and said, well, no man knows the day or the hour. And I know who the person was. And Billy Paul said, or Daddy said, I didn't say the day or the hour. I said before the morning. All right. So anyway, then as they're walking out, he said, well, what about Lois? He says, too late. And he said, what about Lois, my kids? It's too late. So they got in the car, drove up the mountain, and parked on the opposite side of where Brother M usually parks. He parked usually on the inside. They parked on the outside. And then they saw the mountain cut out without hands, falling up upon the earth. And all Brother Branham said to Billy was, close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray. He didn't even want him to see what was happening. So it's coming, brother, sister, and the destruction is coming. And, you know, people talk about the New Jerusalem, but Brother Branham said, I saw a New Jerusalem coming down like a comet. He used the word comet. Do you know if a comet the size of New Jerusalem hits the earth, it would be total burning of the entire planet for millions of miles high, and it would be a total life ending of all creatures. It would be a life ending on the planet, period. Well, that's at the end of the millennium. So, you know, it's going to be a great thing. And, you know, I can't figure it out because maybe my engineering skills are lacking, but how these houses that he's going to prepare will be in that comet. And the comet hit the earth, and they'll stay in one piece. They got to have a sure foundation, and I think that sure foundation is Christ. All right, so that's all I can say about that. But notice then, you see the mountains here. The picture of the mountains up here is melting. It looks like water dripping down. It's actually the mountain is just falling down. it basically became just mud. Okay, and they picked up the scroll where Daniel had prophesied that there'd come a time where there'd be a stone cut out of the mountains without hands, and it would tear down the kingdoms of the world. They must have been reading that, and then they had to come to some of the Hebrew scrolls back in Numbers where Balaam said there would arise a star out of Jacob. Okay. Now, you see a picture of basically the devastation, you can see the road has basically been washed over by mud. That's from the mountains. They just became mud. I was driving in Oregon, and all the trees were down, and they had slid down the hill. Now, you know, usually a tree on the side of a hill has roots that are pretty deep in order to stay there. These trees were all laying on top of each other. The road was closed. I had to take the entire mountainside. So, you know, people that put their houses on mountains so they can look out, they're kind of foolish, you know. Even if you put those pylons in, you're still going to sink down. So, all right. So from his wonders to perform, he said, and Daniel said, behold, and I beheld until I seen a stone cut out of mountains without hands, and it subdued all the kings of the world, and it raised up and become the great, and great covered the whole earth. So that's, of course, our New Jerusalem. While they were reading this, watching up and knowed every star there was in the solar system that human eyes could see, it was about that time that the strangers appeared. Okay, that's the three wise men. Now, let me just have a little drink here. Notice to see a picture here of a mudslide. Okay, the side of the mountain is completely destroyed. All right. So this world's falling apart. Let her fall apart. That's all right. It's going to do it anyhow. What did Micah say here? What did Micah speak of here? The mountains will mold. It'll run like wax and pour over like a glacier, squirting up, or some kind of geyser rather. She'll melt and fall away. But Jehovah will remain forever. All flesh is grass. The breath of God blows upon it, whether it's flower, grass, how beautiful, it's withered away, but the word of our God stands forever. And that's the thing I want you to think about. The word of God stands forever. And it's coming to pass. And when it comes to pass, it's no longer the word. No longer the seed. It's actually the plant. It's actually the planting of the Lord. It's actually the manifestation. It's actually as Brother Branham said, the reality. So we are seeing all of these seeds that he ever planted are coming to fruition right now. And he planted them before the foundation of the world because he planted them in a spirit form back then. So it's tremendous what God is doing. And we're living, we have such a privilege to live in an age when it's all coming to pass and we're getting to see it. And it's you know, it's really tremendous. So don't be afraid, little children. You'll be gone 1 second before it all happens. Like I said, Chrissy's dream, and in her dream, she was looking at and she saw the super or hypersonic missiles going over, and then she just looked for her kids and she woke up. So she was gone. Okay. Peter, the same Peter had the same dream 2 weeks before that he was looking, and his sisters were with him, and all three of them saw the hypersonic missiles flying over, and he started laughing because he knew that 1 second before they hit, he's going to be gone. But his sisters didn't have that promise. And so they were fearful, but he was happy. You see the difference between the two? So get it in your mind that you are the chosen that will be taken out of here before one rocket strikes this country. Okay? Now, all right. Again, you see from the falling apart of the world, he said, now, if you'll just stand in just a moment, I want to read this morning from the book of Micah for one place and for another out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, to gather a little context of what I'd like to speak on this morning of our Christmas message, Hebrews 12:25. It is I kind of had to hurry this morning when I got up, and I didn't have everything just at the place where I wanted to have. I began with the second verse of Micah. Hear ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that are therein is. Now notice again the picture of the devastation, the house on the cottage. Like the Bible says, the cottage shall flee away. Well, how does the cottage flee away? It doesn't have legs. But it's fleeing away because the mountains take it down. Okay. So, anyway, it says, for behold, the Lord cometh out from his place and will come down and tread upon the place of the earth, and the mountain shall be molded under him, and the valley shall be cleft, and as wax before the fire, and the water that are poured down a steep place. And in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and 25th verse, we read, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped, who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? All you have to do is read Deuteronomy 28, and you see the curses. You see the blessings, 15 verses worth, and you see from 15 to 46, you see all the curses. And if you don't hearken to the Lord. So, from this picture is a picture of a mudslide that hit Colorado. You can kind of see it. The mountain just kind of came down, and then level off and then came down again. And an enormous mudslide that reported to be 4 miles long, 2 miles wide, like a tornado, and around 250 feet deep, occurred Sunday night in Mesa County, Colorado, and a few dozen miles to the east of Grand Junction as of 10 p.m. So this is a picture that, if you can imagine, 250 feet deep. Well, how many have a house that's 250 feet? None of us. Maybe 25 feet if you got a two-story. This is 250 feet deep, so you're 10 times, you're at the bottom of the mud. There's nothing that lives down there, okay? All right, then Washington mudslide death toll continues to rise. Darrington, Washington. Washington authorities on Wednesday reduced the number of people missing for a community wiped out by a mudslide to 90 as the families and friends of those still unaccounted for begin to confront the reality that some may never be found. The official death toll remains at 16, with an additional 8 bodies located but not recovered. Snohomish County Emergency Management Director John Pennington said, authorities said that they expect more bodies to be found on Thursday. The number of missing had been fluctuating, at one point reaching as high as 220, but authorities were able to verify that 140 people reported missing had been located, Pennington said. That left 90 people missing, plus 35 others who may or may not have been in the area at the time of the slide. The debris field is about a square mile, all right, and 30 to 40 feet deep in places, with a moon-like surface that includes quicksand-like mud, rain-slickened mud, and ice. The terrain is difficult to navigate on foot and makes it treacherous or impossible to bring in heavy equipment. So, you know, I mean, 30, 40 feet, my house is still maybe, you know, like I said, 25 feet. I still would be 15 feet out of the mud. So, all right, Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall they escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now, and if, first of all, let's just say, who comes down with a shout from heaven? God does. All right? So, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, now, the only way that we cannot be shaken is if we're in him, in his word. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So if you're in his word, you know, everything else is going to be shaken. All right? So, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, from Haggai 2:21, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Okay, so God's going to do it. Again, you see a hole in the ground, and Haggai 2:6 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations and desire. All nations shall come, and I will fill his house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay. Now, Joel 3:16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voices from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Notice this picture is kind of in the wrong place, but it'll do. It's a picture of a apartment complex that's just shaken, and it's on a side. You know, it's not fallen, it's actually shaken. That's why it looks like it does. It's kind of tipsy-turvy. Okay? From Ezekiel 38:19, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in the day there shall be great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. All men shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down. In other words, there's so much violent shaking, the mountains dissolve, okay? And the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Every wall. Not you know, 50%, 10%. All of them. Wow, okay? Isaiah 24:13. When thus it shall come to be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as a shaking of an olive tree, and at the gleaning and as a gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Now, why do you shake an olive tree? Because the olives are too high to get down. So you shake the olive tree and the olives fall to the ground. Then you can pick them up. Well, everything's going to shake like an olive tree. He just gave an olive tree as an example. Okay. Now, Isaiah 28:18, you see the big sinkholes here. In both places, you see, in this community, this people walked out of their, you know, their, I mean, if they drove their car, they landed in the pit. And these ones here, they were also. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. All right? And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. And for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth to shake. So it's coming a time you're going to see more of these, and we, you know, it's been what, the last 20 years, we've seen a lot of these. We've seen a lot of these things, and with fracking and everything else going on, you see a lot more. Okay. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of fierce anger. Can you imagine when the earth quits spinning? It's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and we don't fly off because of gravity. But can you imagine when the Earth quits spinning? What's the water going to do that's up here like this? It's going to be over everything. I mean, it's a great shape and coming. All right. Notice this picture here is a city. And look at the cracks, the size of those cracks in the city. All right. I mean, complete houses have been swallowed up. Okay. Isaiah 2:19. And they should go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles, that's the tunnel diggers, and to the bats, that's people that live in those silos and things like that, to go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, and when he rises to shake terribly the earth. Okay. Now, from Jesus keeps all his appointments, Brother Bram said, look at the earthquakes all over the world, or all over the earth, shaking the earth again. Look what's happening everywhere. The time is at hand, and look, the door will be closed after a while, and you cry to get in, and you can't get in. Okay. Then from, and we see the complete devastation here of after an earthquake. Okay. And also, here we got the complete devastation after an earthquake. Okay, so from Why Christ Speak. Holy Spirit of God, while my flesh is trembling, anointed with your presence, not only mine but others in here, the power of your resurrection lives among us just now. We are aware that we're standing before the living God who shook Mount Sinai. Not only that, but he'll shake the earth at his coming. Right? He'll shake the earth. Well, what do you think he's going to do with California? You know, you got the Acacia Mountains, and you got the San Andreas Fault. It's, the whole thing's going to go. All right. I know a precious brother that when he saw these things, he moved from California. His business is still there, but he goes maybe a couple of days to travel, and then he comes home and lets the others do the work. He just, you know, does the sales part. So, but you see, if you don't believe, you could live in California and say, well, it's going to be okay and everything's all right and, you know, nothing has changed and everything's the same as, you know, and it's prosy. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you really are aware of all these signs and events, you are going to shake and you are going to tremble at his presence, but in a good sense, because you know that he's also going to take you out of here. All right. From Identify Christ of All Ages, he said, just before the promised Son, the last sign before the Gentile world was destroyed, was this, that God manifested in the flesh that knew the secrets of the heart. Now, that's the last sign that the church in the spiritual church gets. That's the last sign that the natural church gets, and the Gentile world will be destroyed. And she's ready for it right now. The earth is shaking all over with earthquakes. Why? And so you see a picture of the debris and devastation of the vehicle there and things from an earthquake. All right, so from in his presence, he said, this is evangelism. This is a time to shake people. This is a time that God said there'd come a time. He shook Mount Sinai one time, but there'd come a shaking again. But he wouldn't only shake Mount Sinai, but he'd shake everything that could be moved. But you did notice the rest of the scripture. All right, so we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Can you imagine that? This word that we have, this end time word that we got, all right, and your Bible, you're standing on that. It can't be shaken. You can't be moved. You know, it's immovable. And so, hey, everything else is going to shake around you but yourself, okay? All right, everything that can be shook will be shaken. The heavens will shake. The earth will shake. Heavens and earth will pass away, but that word shall never pass away. For upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. And so you see a picture of the moon with the earth with preliminary determination of epicenter. So all those dark marks are the epicenters where the fault lines are. All right, and you see, you look at America. Look at the west coast of America. It's just devastated. Okay, there's like 13 or 17 volcanoes in the west coast that They say are dormant. Well, no, there's not such a thing as a dormant volcano. It just simply sits there for a while until it comes until it becomes active again. All right. So we receive a kingdom which is the Word of God Himself, and God is the Word. He don't shake Himself. Amen. Oh my. But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, is unshakable, said Paul the writer. Now, listen, every word that he said is a seed. But every word is becoming fulfilled in this day, so therefore every word is a reality. So our reality is a revealed word. There, the world's reality is a seed. And they're doomed. Now, from junction time. O God, shake not the earth, but the heavens again. Lord, let us go into the fields yonder where the millions are waiting, Lord, and hungering and thirsting and crying and begging, and heathens are dying in darkness. O God, shake this great adulterated nation of America, who's fell in folly in a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. O thou son of the morning, how come that you fell? You did run well. What happened to you? But, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have hovered you. Again, we see a picture that, look at, even the pressure to make those railroad ties melt. I mean, they're just, it's like heating it up to 1,000 degrees, putting it on the tip, you know, putting on your anvil and pounding away. That's what man would do. But, you know, you'd have to have super heat, super powers to do that. Well, God just did that, waved his finger. I mean, the stars shake, volcanics will come forth, and the earth will renew itself. New lava will break forth from the center of the earth, and she'll crumble all around us and around when she spins out in yonder. And I tell you, one morning when Jesus and his bride come back to earth, there'll be a great paradise of God there. That, oh my, them old warriors of the battle walk down through there with their friends and loved ones. The anthem will fill the air and an angelic host. And it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared for you like you've had back yonder before Eve started the ball to rolling in sin. Amen. Yes, six seals going to do something. Yes, sir. Truly the whole world is groaning and paining for the millennium. All right. From in his presence, you notice here I can't even make it out what it is, but the ground is totally mud, you know, and whatever. And he said, when that angel cried, the posts of the temple shook back and forth. Brother, that'll make you not only in the posts of the temple going to shake, but the whole heavens and earth going to shake when he comes again. The mountains will flee and the seas will fade away and scream. Hide us from the face of him that's set upon the throne. It's going to be a terrible time. I tell you, sinner friend, you better be checking it up. That's right. I mean, look at the size of that boat. And that boat is sitting on top of somebody's house. So those waves took it up, and, you know, those waves did great damage, you know, and they came, that was a result of an earthquake, okay? From end time evangelism, Brother Brown said, Noah was sweating it out, but finally after 7 days, and that was in February the 17th when he went in, and then after 7 days, then that morning when he woke up, the thunders was a-roaring, great big drops of rain was like dropping around. Again, you see the waves billowing up here. Okay, those who had come up and stayed a day or two to find out said, well, we'll go and see if anything happens. It was too late then. They knocked, they screamed, the streets come full of water, begin to raise up on the hillsides. People took to the highlands. They tried to get them on boats and so forth. But if the boat wasn't God constructed, them big, mighty shaking of the earth at that time, that just shook it right down under the water. So you could be in Noah's day and have your own, you know, false theology and build yourself a boat, but it wouldn't last. It'd be shook. All right? It wasn't God constructed. Now, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 24 elders. So we see him again in the circle of bowl of green, amber color. This greenish, that does green, what does green represent in life? Green is the evergreen, always stays green, is life. What does it mean? That God has promised promised, as he took the oath back in, there in Genesis, that he would put a rainbow in the sky, that he would no more destroy this world by water. He also takes his oath and swears by himself that all the seed of Abraham, he'll raise it up, and thus this world will stand all of its shaking judgments. And this is just a picture of a volcano getting ready to go. But the judgments are going through on the future lessons we got coming. We'll show you where this world will belch and turn into volcanics and blow to pieces and upside down and everything. But he swear by himself that he'll not destroy it, but he'll smooth it off again and put his children on the earth for that millennium. So we have a promise to come back again. We'll go to another dimension and we'll come back again. When I was in the UL, I had met with a certain church, all 18 of them. Oh, excuse me, it should be the UK. When I was in the UK, I had met with a certain church. All 18 of them, people showed up, and we met on my way to the airport, and we discussed the doctrine of Christ, and they rejected it, what I had to tell them. Then they said, well, we didn't hear it that way. We believe this. Well, then we proceeded to the airport, boarded our plane without incident, and took off. Then they announced that our flight was to be the last one leaving the UK because the skies were becoming so filled with soot that they ended up closing airspace over the UK for an entire 6 weeks because of the ash. I was told by our brother there, who's living there, the UK, that was under judgment for rejecting the doctrine of Christ. And then he perished in a heart attack. But he was a good brother, so I'll see him again. But anyway, from Why Little Bethlehem, Brother Bram said, and through this, God looked down when the wrath, on the wrath and the trumpets began to blow. God seeing that scarlet cord hanging there as a memorial, it's always pleased him to pass over the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He saw it, and when the shaking and the Holy Spirit rumbled the earth and shook down them walls, some 20 feet thick, not one rock fell where that cord was hanging, shows the protection of a true God to a true believer, no matter what state that you're in when he finds you. If you'll just accept that scarlet cord, it weaves through the Bible. So, in other words, you know, I've mentioned how more people were killed on the hillside by the hailstones than Joshua's army was able to kill. So, you know, God is very definitive of judgments. Peter was in his house with his family, praying to God that the tornado wouldn't touch his house. He was headed right for the house. It jumped over the house and continued on. You know, there was brothers they ran into a motel in Joplin, Missouri, and the tornado was heading right for the hotel, and they were praying, and all of a sudden it turned and left. That was your uncle. Just turned and left and went right around. All right? There's many, many homes where people were praying, and I've seen videos where women, you know, long hair and long skirt and, you know, holiness people, and they were praying, and the tornadoes came, and it just turned the corner and went away from their house. So, you know, God is a very good God. He loves his kids. All right. Well, just a few more. From the King James Version, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. You know, I did show you a picture up earlier of the cottage that was on the side of the hill that was kind of removed, okay? And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And then from the Message, Love. It said, when the earth is staggering like a man coming home drunk by atomic power shaking her, when the oceans has wept theirself into the desert, and seeing that it reached the ears of God and the stars refuse to shine, the love of God will still be the same. It can never fail. So, you know, if you've ever been to Phoenix, Phoenix is in the desert. All right, Brother Branham said that when the tidal wave comes in, it'll come in. He said California will be basically a mile below it, okay? In other words, the waves will be a mile high. Well, Phoenix is at 1,000 feet above sea level. A mile is 5,000 feet, all right? Tucson is 2,613 feet. So by the time it gets to Tucson, which is about 4 or 5 hours from the coastline, Brother Bram said to the brothers there that it'll be up to the hubcaps in Tucson. So, in other words, a half a mile high. So, you know, it's devastating what's coming on the earth. And you know what? Let it happen. I don't want to see anybody killed that should be killed, but I don't want to see anybody live that should live, and that should, you know, that should not live. In other words, let God be God. He's a judge. He's standing at the door knocking. First, they kicked him out of the churches, you know, the word knocking at the door. Then the word came to judge the last day, so the judge is outside the door. Then they took him out of education. Then once they took him out of education, they took him out of the Capitol buildings and the courthouses. The Ten Commandments were removed, and then they took him out of the Capitol building. Then they took him out of medicine. Then they took him out of the politics. You know, the DNC took God in 2008, took God out of their platform. So it's all damned. It's all, you know, because the bride was not looking for a vessel. She saw him. But they were looking for the vessel, and they didn't see him. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you that we were able to get through it. And Lord, just so much here and so much more that we could actually give, but we just don't have time. But you know, we're trying to hit the high places, and we know that you'll just take us out of here one of these days soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.